Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a special edition. We are celebrating International Women. We're celebrating women during International Women's Month in March of this year. And we're so excited to have a special guest with us this evening. My name is Vanessa, and my podcast is Vanessa's Cafe Podcast, as you can see. And my co-host is Coach Betty, and she represents Fortunately Femme. We have partnered this year so that we can impact and share more stories of amazing women throughout the entire globe. And we have a special guest, which Coach Betty is going to introduce to you. So Betty, take it over.
Absolutely. Welcome again, everyone. We are happy to have you all join in watching all these women from around the world. And tonight we have a phenomenal woman with us. She's from here, and we are blessed to have her to share her perspective of views on women in general. So her name is Professor Christine. She didn't tell you her last name. Welcome, Christine.
Kaza Chuck, thank you so much, Betty, for having me. And thank you, Benisa, for having me today.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So now let's start with a few questions, Professor Christine. So can you tell the audience about you? Maybe who are you?
How far do you want me to start?
Well, I mean, just give us a brief overview of who you are, what you've done in the past years.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Professor Christine Kaczuchuk, and I am the founder and CEO of Every Girl Wins Institute, and I'm also the founder of International Every Girl Wednesday, which we celebrate every year on March the 13th. So that's very exciting. I am married. I'm a mother of three, a grandmother of nine. And it's just amazing opportunity to be alive these days. Right, Betty?
Yes.
Yes. Do you want me to go into my early, when I was 14 and pregnant? Do you want me to go into that?
You can share.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll share a little bit, the reason I started Every Girl Wins Institute is just based on my life story. And my life story is I became pregnant at the age of 13 and had my first son at the age of 14 and married their father at the age of 14, went on to have two more children by him by the time I was 18 years old in a domestic, mentally and physically abused during that time. But I did leave him and went on to make an amazing life for myself. And now trying to make an amazing life for women worldwide.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow. I have to kind of process that for a second. That's often, you hear of those stories where I come from, not necessarily, here in the United States, but that you're a great example of why people shouldn't stereotype young mothers or teen moms and what, I feel like sometimes people judge them from the get-go and kind of label them and put them in this category. And they don't think that anything, that they will make something out of themselves basically because they chose or because it just so happened that they had a child at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree with you because, when I had become pregnant, everyone tell me that I would be nobody, that I'd ruin my life. But, I'm here to say that, that's not true to any young, female that's out there that mm-hmm. this has happened to. Your life's not over. It's just begun. You just have one extra person. You to take with you.
Mm-hmm. So, you are here from the United States. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is a question that we ask everyone. So because we all live here, I don't know how, but maybe something we don't. So let's still ask. And the question is what is something that we don't know about the country that you live in? Or maybe the state or city that I don't know where you live, but maybe tell us about something.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I'm originally from West Virginia, but I live in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I will say that Gosh, I don't know. I would say here. Don't know. I really, at this moment, it cannot even think of anything at this moment.
So wait, what part of North Carolina are you?
I live in Salisbury. I live in, it's about 30 minutes from Charlotte.
Okay. Well, you know, I think Charlotte is a beautiful city. You know, it's a beautiful Southern city. And it has, I don't know. I think that the scenery is just really pretty. And there's so many great things to do around the area. It's not far from Atlanta either. And the mountains.
It's about 4.5 hours to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're very close to everything. We have international airport. The food is amazing. We have a great Carolina Panther team. And you know, and I and North Carolina is actually famous for their barbecue. That's what they're famous for.
Yes, I do know that.
That's amazing. But now let's talk about how women are viewed in the United States. I know we all lived here, but you're from West Virginia.
So yes, I'm originally from West Virginia.
You might speak on the perspective of West Virginia specifically, or in the U.S. in general. So how do you think women are viewed in this country?
You know, it depends on, you know, Betty, it depends on, you know, what part of the country that you actually live in. And I'll say that, and it's just cultural, you know, how they're viewed is, you know, some women are still viewed as, you know, you come home, you clean, you cook, you watch the kids, and, you know, the men are still, you know, in that way. But then you have the other part, which, like my husband in here, is, you know, he respects, you know, women. I mean, when he vacuums, he sees something needs to be done, or if he, you know, anything else like that, you know, he does it. He doesn't totally put it on myself. So that's where I see, you know, there's a kind of distance of, you know, the cultural parts here in the United States when it comes to what that way with women viewed. And then, you know, like in the workplace also, you know, I think it comes from different parts of the country also of how women are viewed. In some, in a lot of cities, they're viewed as very strong women. And I believe sometimes in the, you know, the rural areas that some women are not viewed as very strong women, and it's very intimidating to them. And as far as if you're, you know, the unemployment, that still has a lot of work to be done, you know, with that, with the way women are viewed with jobs, the same jobs as men.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes.
What would you say, do you think things have gotten better over the years?
As in
like women's rights, or how women are viewed here in the United States. Was it, you know, in compare, like, let's say 20 years ago to today, how have things changed in your opinion?
In my opinion, it has changed, but now when COVID came, we got knocked back a little bit, you know, because, you know, you know, as a woman, you choose your children or, you know, your employment. And we had a very, you know, we were very high up in the area of working, you know, being able to balance it all. But when COVID hit, you have to make a choice. So we got hit a little bit on that. But I believe that, you know, with women's rights, it has, we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go, you know, because we're still not equally in pay here in the United States. So, you know, we're still not viewed as the equals here in the United States fully. So, you know, we still have a lot to go, but we've done a lot of groundwork.
Sure. And that really links to the next question, which is about the equality in women opportunity for financial or educational or anything that women can do compared to men. So why do you think there is maybe there is a difference? No, it's not equal pay or equal opportunity for women in this country.
We still have not fought hard enough for that right. We still haven't had laws put in place, completely in place for that. And that's something that needs to be put in place. If I have the same job as my husband has, and we're doing the exact same hours, and we're doing the exact same job, you know, it should be a law that states we get paid the exact same pay.
Got it. So right now there is no law that dictates this specific, you know.
Right. And that there needs to be one, you know, on that, because women are still, you know, being, you know, passed for promotions and passed for different things, and, you know, the equal pay. So it definitely should be a law passed for that.
Got it.
I personally think that the woman in general has lost its value here in the United States. You know, looking over the last few years, other, politically correct in how I say things, but, you know, I think that there was a time where women are really pushed here for growth, career growth. That was like a goal, right? I remember when I was in corporate America that there were statistics that were strived for, where, you know, you must give at least one woman an opportunity to interview for the same job that a male would interview for. But then the focus changed. And when you listen to the news and just everything that's going on right now in this country in particular, I feel like we've taken a big backseat, and that our value has been diminished by other priorities that have now sort of come afloat, you know, to the point of even just, you know, describing, like, you know, what is a woman? I don't know if you guys heard that of that documentation, but it's a documentary. It's actually very interesting. And it's sort of, you know, is sad when you listen to it, because it just reflects it all shows that here in this country, being a woman is no longer something like unique, amazing. We're birthing children, you know, we're doing a lot of great things. So, you know, that's just my personal opinion, but I just wanted to add that, because that's something that I noticed. I don't know if you guys have, but I definitely have noticed that here in the United States over the last, I don't know, two to five years.
Yeah, it seems like it started during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was saying earlier. During COVID, we, you know, it's kind of, we went down the back, we slid back a little bit, a couple of steps back. Yes.
We need to fight to get together, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, we want to ask you, Professor Christine, another question about women, especially. So we want to know, have your expectations changed on women? So we know that...
Expectations changed after COVID, or...
Maybe after COVID, since now, you know, before COVID, we were, you know, thinking differently.
Well, you know, Betty, and it's kind of funny that you say that. See, I grew up, you know, like my grandmother and them, you know, you're a superwoman, you can do this, you can do it all, you know, and that's the way, you know, we grew up. But, you know, after COVID and just seeing so much, you know, loss, and then, you know, I personally had a loss in COVID, my younger brother passed from COVID. And, you know, I had to stand back, you know, and just look at things around me in my life, and just kind of settle down a little bit and not be that superwoman that I was raised to be. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for self-care. It's okay for you to break down. It's okay. And that's something that I had to, you know, grasp myself. And that's something that I will tell all women. It's okay. You don't have to be superwoman. You've got to take care of yourself first and realize the value of the people that's around you and enjoy them instead of trying to make such a name for yourself and be at the top, you know, at the top.
Self-care is very important.
Yes.
Take time to to really love yourself, to take care of yourself, because a lot of people, they are so busy chasing, you know, job or life that they forget to leave. So it's really time to really take some time for yourself, have some me time in a way to make sure you prioritize your mental health, your self-care, so you can be able to enjoy the ones around you.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, our theme this year for Evergirl Wins was cherish her. You know, for me, how I came up with that is start cherishing everything and everybody around you. Just calm down. Just calm.
So true.
It's like, how do they say in English, stop and smell the roses?
Yes, absolutely. Stop and smell the roses. Because after COVID, we've all been through so much with COVID, from, you know, job loss, money, you know, just people passing and stuff like that. We lost a lot, and life is precious. So, and, you know, enjoy the moment. As I tell, you know, my thing this year was enjoy the journey. Don't rush to the destiny.
That's true.
That is so true. Yep. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's so true. So the next one we want to talk more about is International Women's Day. This is something that, you know, I just recall really gaining traction in the United States. Also over the last few years, this is something that, you know, I'm accustomed to celebrating my entire life. But tell us, you know, about International Women's Day and, you know, how you celebrate it, or how is it celebrated here?
International Women's Day or International Evergirl Wednesday?
No, International Women's Day.
March 8th. Mm-hmm. Okay, March 8th. Yes, I mean, here, you know, it's celebrated. We celebrate ourselves because we have came such a long way. And, you know, and being, you know, and I'm sure it's just like this in other countries. I think UK celebrates Women's Month in October. So I know there's, you know, different, you know, places that celebrate it in different years, but it's a chance for us to get to know not just us presently, but who paved the way for us to actually be here. You know, and the crazy thing is when I say that, I always think of like Mother Teresa. I always think of, and you're going to think I'm crazy, Betty White. I always think of Betty White. I don't know why, but Betty White. But those are the women that have paved the way for us at this moment to be able to sit here and talk about, you know, women's history. And as I was speaking to, you know, Betty earlier about our youth ambassador leadership program, of the ideas that they have to change for them as youth, from, you know, they're 13 to 20 right now. I've got that 13 to 20 is a few of my youths right now. And the ideas that they have to still change, and, you know, not to be the feminist, because they'll tell you they're not feminist. You know, they are women, young girls that want change, and they see it. And like I was telling Betty, I said, they're young enough to do it, where we're, you know, our energy level a little bit has came down just a little bit. But, you know, just celebrating who we are, celebrating our femalehood, just celebrating all month long and getting to know like women like yourself. And if we get to sit down and know each other just like we are with ourselves, and instead of, you know, saying she's this or she's this or she's this, get to really know that person, you know, as a woman, really get to know them. And that's the key, is we're so busy in our lives that we need to sit down and really get to know one another.
Agreed.
Stop assuming. Sometimes we see someone, we think they are not nice, or we have all kind of, you know, opinions about them. So it's really good to take the time to get to know the person before you judge, before you make assumptions, because most of the time you may be wrong.
And you're right, you know, you may be wrong, because it's, but judging that book by its cover, as they say. The inside. Yes.
That is so true. So We were going to ask you about, so you talked about that already, but I mean, since you mentioned when we asked the question earlier about Women's International Women's Day, March 8th, and you were asking if it was about International Girls Day, can you speak on the difference between the two and why you're so passionate about the International Girls Day on March 3rd?
I mean, they're very close and similar to you know, to one another. And on International Evergirl Wednesday is the proclaimed day that I had for March the 13th. And I tell people it's my granddaughter's birthday. She's my only granddaughter. And I, you know, named it, I've got that proclamation for her. But we celebrate that day with, you know, talks and lectures and sending letters of encouragement of love to one another. And then also by, you know, the awards that we give out that we, you know, the awards that we honor so many women and you, the youth and even men, because men stand with us also. And, you know, just honoring them on that day is just, you know, knowing who we are. And, you know, every year, like I said, this is Cherish Her. So, and then last year was Her Right. So we have different themes every year for that. But, you know, it's very similar with one another.
Thank you. That's good to know. And we know how passionate you are about International, you know, Girl Wednesday. Uh-huh. And we're a witness to that. We were fortunate enough to be part of this movement this year and the years to come. Yes. So definitely we can tell how the movement is growing. And we invite everyone to support. If you are watching today, you can go to the website, everygirlwins.com. They have the institute to really help women and coach them to become the best version of themselves. So thank you for this work, this hard work you are doing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We love it and we will support it all the way.
And like I always say, Betty, I can't do it without women like yourself and, you know, other women that's helping me with this organization and helping to honor, you know, that, like I said, the females, the youth, the men. You know, I've received so many emails this week of stating, you know, it was their first award. They had never been recognized. So that's thanks to my representatives.
Awesome. So let's go now to the next formal question we had prepared for you. So what change would you like to see happening in your country and globally for women and girls in general?
Well, for my country, and I say that the United States is very blessed because I have traveled around the world and I've seen, you know, that we are very blessed in what, you know, we have done, but we still have a lot of work to do. And but what I would like to see done is, you know, equal pay, definitely equal pay, you know, because it is our right, you know, and for, you know, to for others to understand that even though we can be the total breadwinner of the family, that we still need the help with the children and everything like that. So definitely equal pay. Now, around the world, I would like to see more of the laws that have been passed to for the laws to be, you know, what am I trying to say? Make sure that they're not broken, you know, that they are, you know, they're not broken, that the laws are still there for them, that the abuse stops, you know, with so many. The selling of, you know, the females, I would like to see that, you know, stopped. But there's so much that, you know, for the world that needs to be, we need to still stand for and get changed, you know, like even healthcare, a lot of healthcare for, you know, women and girls are not there. So that's one thing that I would love to also see.
Absolutely. I can only agree with you because, you know, there's such inconsistency throughout, you know, the world and globally when it comes to just women, women's rights, women, like honoring a woman or just simple, like you said, medical care or even education, you know, or jobs or something as simple as driving a car is not allowed in certain countries.
Right.
So, there's, you know, we are far, you know, we are way ahead of them, but there's so much work to be that needs to be done. What would you say? Well, I think Betty already asked you this question. Never mind. I'm sorry. So what message would you like to give other women?
Use your voice. You know, use your voice for change, because you can only use your voice for change, not just for yourself, but you can use it for others. You know, use your voice. You see something, say something. And I know that's a lot of fear in some, but, you know, once you do, it feels absolutely amazing. See something, say something.
Wow, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. And straight to the point. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid to mm-hmm. voice their opinion. They are afraid to share their mm-hmm. thoughts on a specific subject because they think that they will not be heard. They think that mm-hmm. they will value their opinion. Therefore, they are afraid to express themselves. So thank mm-hmm. you for encouraging them to have a voice, to mm-hmm. express themselves, because you have something to say. We all have an opinion. We have a way of seeing different things. We are different and unique. That's why it's really important to express yourself, use your voice to fight for your rights. Thank you so much for sharing, Christine.
Thank you, Betty.
Awesome. So I believe this actually sums up the questions. Oh, no, never mind. Hold on. She already asked. I think we've got all the questions covered.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah. But I would actually like to, a question just came up. So I would like to know, what inspired you to actually start your organization and help women crossing globally, not just here mm-hmm. in the United States?
Yeah, it's based on my life story of, mm-hmm. you know, where I came pregnant at 13. And where they told me that I would be nobody, that I can, you know, that I would be nothing in my life. And I want women to know, if they've been through that, even if it was an older age that they've been through that, to let them know that no matter what's happened in their life, they still can overcome it. It just takes that inner burning inside of you to mm-hmm. want it every day and want it for yourself. But for me, it wasn't just for myself. It was for my three children also mm-hmm. when I walked out. Is I knew that I had to create a better life, you know, for them. And, you know, I knew that this was something that I always wanted to do. And I used to look at myself as a victim, but now I look at myself as victorious, because God put me through what I went through to be able to do what I am now today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's the reason I do exactly what I do, you know. And after I had left my ex-husband, I met my amazing husband that's upstairs now. We've been together almost 30 years. And, you know, I went back to school. We have a business that we run still in the city of Charlotte for the last 30 years. We've been mm-hmm. 29 years we've been doing this business. So we have a truck repair company that we do in there. And that's the company that's actually helped us, you know, create the life that we also wanted, you know, to do and deserve in our lives. Yes.
Of course. Awesome. Awesome.
Congratulations, Professor Christine. We are excited about your story and the organization together to create an impact in women and girls' lives. Thank you so much for all.
You're welcome. And thank you. Like I said, I'm going to bring it back to y'all. I can't do it without y'all. Cannot do it without you.
So if someone was interested in looking up more about what you do and how they can get involved, how would they find you?
They can go to our website at evergirlwins.com and look at what our organization does. Mm-hmm. And then also have a website at the Evergirl Wins Institute is the institute part of it. And then we have the Her Right part of it, which is the advocacy part of it. And that's the more the one where we stand, you know, for everything. And we use our voices. And mm-hmm. they can go there at herright.net, or they can email me at info@evergirlwins.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much. And that concludes our interview for tonight. We are so amazed and inspired after this talk. So I'm really hoping, and I wish everyone will be as inspired as we are, because this story is amazing. The organization she's behind is definitely powerful. So I recommend every one of you to really go follow her, look at the website, and contact her to get involved, because her rights deserve your stand, and we need to cherish her like this year theme is promoting. So thank you again, Professor Christine, for being here. And remember to follow Felicia's Cafe for Shortly Found for more of these interviews.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening in.